Our guest now, however, has some food for thought, so to speak. It also just happens to be the name of her new recipe book. Alicia Bilbra-Collins is a chef with 25 years in the industry. She's worked with the big names, Gordon Ramsay and Yota Motolengi among them. After 10 years of running a restaurant in Christchurch, she and her husband John moved their company, Bear Lions Foods, to Upper Moultrie in the Tasman. Her Food for Thought book is packed full of recipes that reflect her real food philosophies, celebrating fresh seasonal ingredients. Alicia, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
There's a lot of really interesting enterprises where you are now living. I think it's a bit of a magnet, that part of the country and that part indeed of Tasman, for entrepreneurs, whether they're growing various kinds of flowers or hops or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of great things going on up here.
What made you move to this part of the Motu?
Family, actually. It wasn't. I never thought we would end up in the Tasman region, but just had one of those opportunities and it came about, and it was sort of like with everything that happened in the last couple of years, my husband's family are all in Melbourne, so we decided to be as close as we could to my family, which are 20 minutes from where we are. So, yeah.
So is that where you grew up?
No. I would say Christchurch was my main home.
Those early years, were they years where growing and preparing your own food was instilled?
Yeah, there was a lot going on in my childhood. I class myself as very lucky. I was immersed in all things food, I suppose, from my father being a hunter. And we did have the veggie garden and bits and pieces, but my mum still is like a great preserver. So anything from all the bottling to making, you know, her own spaghetti and bits and pieces. And my grandparents had a farm and bees and orchard, and was always out fishing in the Marlborough Sounds as well and going to the batch. So it was just sort of, yeah, I was just immersed in it and I just adored it.
And it was food, whether it came from hunting or fishing or it was baking. Food was, there was an element of self-sufficiency or an element of that connection to the source of food.
Yeah, totally. If you could eat it, I wanted to know about it.
You wanted to cook from a young age, or you did cook from a young age?
Yeah, no, I did. I started cooking from a very young age, from as soon as I can remember. But Mum was always very good with, you know, getting us in the kitchen and participating, from whether it was, I remember making muesli and jam and all sorts of bits and pieces. And yeah, and then I think I did like a 4-course meal when I was about 12 or something, around that age, for like some family and friends. So I used every dish in the kitchen, and but Mum and Dad said they'd do the dishes, and it was quite good. And yeah.
That's gutsy.
It.
What was the path into becoming a chef? Was there a formal training path? How did that unfold?
Yeah, I did do formal training in Christchurch back in the day, at Christchurch Polytechnic. And you have to sort of get a part-time job, really, I think. It's so long ago now, trying to remember. I think I lied to somebody, my flatmate, and said that I was a baker and stuff. So he told a chef, and they said, oh yeah, we need a baker. So I just got in there, and because I'd been doing all the time baking, that's just where it sort of began. And then the next thing, I was doing breakfast shift, and it just continued on from that, really.
It's a time-honoured tradition, particularly when Kiwis go to London, isn't it? What are some of the big names that you've worked with in or their kitchens, and what you learned as the career continued?
I learned what I guess I wanted, and what kind of work environment I wanted and what I didn't want. And I learned a lot about discipline and definitely flavor. What people want to eat and how to impress them, and just the variety of produce and stuff available around the world. It's sort of mind-blowing. You just can never run out of flavors.
You have, like so many people have over time, though, the reality of our food systems and the reality of the way that we do or don't look after our environment is pretty hard to deny. It's pretty much in our face. every day.
Yeah.
And was there a dawning moment for that? Has that always been, or was there a moment where you really thought, actually, well, this is pretty, to use a word you use in the book, this is pretty beeped?
Yeah, I guess for me it was a big eye-opener. I was diagnosed with chemical poisoning after years of ill health, and the main culprit was glyphosate, and a lot of other sort of horticultural, agricultural sprays and bits and pieces. And that was a huge eye-opener and a wake-up call when I suddenly realised just how food was being produced and grown, and it was terrifying what we're doing.
That because of foods you were handling, do you know, Alicia, or because?
Well, no, that, I mean, everybody always goes, oh, how did you
get
that? You know, were you, I'm like, just for example, I was driving into Nelson the other day, and so after all the pines are felled and before they replant, there's a chopper out there spraying all
it's
the hills.
It's everywhere, yeah.
You know, it's everywhere. It's where I mention it in my book. I mean, all you've got to do is drive down the road and just look at all the things that are dead around every signpost and the way the council uses it. It's just ridiculous. No one's safe from it, really. In reality, it's everywhere.
And so that life experience was a real, obviously, a real moment for going, What are we doing?
Rock bottom. I never thought I was. I honestly didn't know what was wrong with me. I thought I had a brain tumor, and that's how bad it got. I couldn't actually function as a human. And so to then go, okay, what's going on? And then I suppose as a chef, I just started connecting all the dots and just looking and going, oh gosh, we need to start supporting the people who are doing it right and who are looking after the soil and the future generations, basically.
So this. Very much at the heart of your philosophy, was it at the restaurant in Christchurch?
Totally.
Is it now?
Yeah, it's in the restaurant, definitely. I was just trying to, I suppose, really educate the customer as much as I possibly could, and I'm still trying to do that, of trying to, you know, with everything that's going on, just push that whole seasonal and local and organic and with that environmental focus. I mean, everyone seems to think that I'm a vegan hippie and all those sorts of bits and pieces, and people have got to stop putting labels on things. It was just, hey, hold on a second, there's a right way of doing things and there's a wrong way, and health is everything, and food, like, I think it's just so undervalued and people really just don't give it enough emphasis, and it's like, well, you are what you eat is the magical words, isn't it? And it's everything, and you want to be eating something that's not going to poison you.
So how does that play out now in the new business? And explain the name first, Bear Lion. Is that one of you the bear and one of you the lion, or what?
Yes, my husband's the bear. When I met him, I just started calling him my bear. And Lion is my nickname. My sister always called me Little Lion. So it was just one of those random comments years and years previous that were like, oh, if we ever own our own business, we just call it Bear Lion Foods, and that was never spoken of again, really. And then when we decided to open up in Christchurch, it was already there. So yeah.
And now with the move to Upper Moultrie, what's the business based on? What are its various strands?
So it's amazing, actually, because it's just me. I just try and keep it as simple as possible, and I have a little shop. So I have a monthly menu that goes out and people can pre-order. So there's no food waste, and they can come and get what my class is a real food takeaway, and they can bring their own container rather than producing more supposed bioware and stuff. And that's just one thing, doing catering for all sorts of different functions and weddings. And then one of my favorite things is people actually hire me, and I go to their house usually for about three or four hours, and we'll cook all their meals for the week. So I just use whatever they have on hand. And
what
that's
a brilliant
just
idea.
So much fun.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so straightforward. Like, you know, it's just like we've done the shop. We're too busy this week, or I've got this going on, or whatever. Can you just come and set us up, please?
Yeah. It's people think I'm like this angel, and I'm like, this was awesome and easy. And I just love seeing what people have in their cupboards and bits and pieces, and the fact that they're coming home. And I think the best comment I got was that we're getting to spend more quality time with our children, and knowing that we're eating well. So it's a win-win, really.
What are the philosophies then that are really evident throughout the cookbook? It's beautifully photographed, by the way. Who's done the photography?
It's me, darling.
You done all of it? Jeepers.
I did.
Where does? I don't want to be patronising, but that's above average skill level going on there. Has that been another passion?
Why, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bit of a complete nightmare to start with, if I'm going to be honest. Teaching myself photography, and then I just picked up the camera and just went for it. I wasn't I didn't think that I didn't want to go down the road of hiring somebody, and one, the money that you've got to pay for that, and secondly then you've got to come up with all these recipes in one hit and do it all at once, and what happens to all that food and where does it go and stuff. So the photography thing, it's just developed more and more, and now I've got a lot more ideas of how I would like to take that and show people that food doesn't just have to be taken as a picture on a plate and look quite so.
It's very clever. You've got what looks like a meal on a chili bin lid being towed by a boat here, and I can see the boat strong.
Yeah, that's actually one of my favourite photos. I nailed that. I was so happy. That's just, I guess it's trying to educate people. If you have a look, it's a piece of polystyrene.
Right.
And it's obviously in the ocean. I just hope people can sort of take the step back and look at that and go, oh yeah, how's my food packaged and where is it coming from and where does that packaging end up?
There used to be polystyrene in the old chili bins. Beautiful photography here. And then the philosophy and plural with the recipe selection. Obviously we're hearing from you natural, local suppliers, seasonal. What else would you say really represents your philosophy?
Just keep it simple and easy and flavorful, and just I'm a big one for just, you've got to make sure things are seasoned properly. Like salt is your best friend, and it's been demonized, but we won't go down that road. But it helps out a lot, and in a lot of the recipes, there could be three or four different sort of elements to it. I'm like, just do one. If you come home and you can't be bothered, like, just do the roasted kuma with some cinnamon on it, and that will totally enhance it and make you think that you've done something really well.
I think the salts issue is coming back to food processing, isn't it, Alicia? And it's just that old case of, with the processed foods, there's too much of what, when added to flavour and season a home-cooked meal or fresh food, is much less of an issue for most people, but we're just loading up on it in too many ways. You're not just a photographer, you're a poet in here as well. I am looking at, yes, this salad is sitting on a chef jacket, for all the effing chef jackets, for losing those little stupid buttons, for the ironing, for the wrinkles, for the stains, oil, turmeric. The minute you put it on, the sweat, the long arms, the short arms, the black or white. For the dude that used to come busting into the side, into the kitchen, putting it in the dishwasher, then microwaving it dry. For the one uniform I ever felt proud to wear, for the uniform that I no longer obey.
Didn't think of that as a poem, but
it is a poem. Well, it's near enough to that.
Nice.
You sound like you're in a really interesting, maturing, sure of yourself, confident of yourself phase. You sound like that. And I hope that's where you're at.
Yeah, I guess you could say that I am. Actually, go with being in your 40s, I say. It's pretty good.
Anything else we need to know? There's lots of advice in here. Non-stick pans. Yes, we're all having the Dark Waters movie memory. It was an interview of ours as well, where they can be sourced without too much cost. Lots of practical stuff in here. And what's the one ingredient you can do without? Or can't do without? Is it salt?
Can't do without. I'll have to say salt. Yeah.
Season well, taste well. Thank you, Alicia Bilbra-Collins. Her book is Food for Thoughts, a New Zealand-grown cookbook from the Bear Lion Kitchen.